We're thankful for your presence tonight. We don't know how many others might be stuck in the traffic jam that Freddie and Ann are stuck in, but we're thankful that you're able to be here. Things that like that happen, and they should give us pause to think that, you know, we could be involved in an accident like that too. And life is very fragile, and we never know what a day might bring. There's a program on TV that's it's about racing and stuff supposedly on the streets and stuff. And the one guy, he says, every time you buckle up in that car, tonight might be the night you die. You know, and I thought, well, okay, yeah, but that's true anytime you get in a car. I always try to say a prayer every time I get in a car and get ready to go someplace. And don't want to ever take God for granted and his providence. Life is short. A lot of people this morning said something to me about the bulletin and the little Bible quiz that's in the bulletin every week and so forth. And I guess people assume that I do the bulletin because a lot of the articles are written by me. But I actually submit those to Larry, and he puts the bulletin together, and he puts that Bible quiz together and all of those things. And so sometimes people make mistakes. I know that none of you ever make a mistake, but sometimes Larry makes a mistake. Actually, the answers were right. It was the questions that were wrong. And so, but Larry does a good job with the bulletin. He's a very busy man, and he, from the moment that I got here, he very graciously offered to continue putting the bulletin together and get it out and so forth. I was more than glad to let him do it because I know what all goes into that and setting things up. You know, it's one thing to write the articles. It's another thing to make them fit on the page. Sometimes that's easier said than done. But he does a good job of all of it. And then if you get, of course, everybody has an email address that you, and if you've given the correct email address to Larry, you also get the emailed bulletin every week, and there's some added articles in that. And so I just want to take this occasion to say thank you to Larry. I mean, he apparently gets hit from a few sides when he makes a mistake, if the date's wrong or something like that. But, you know, it'd be good to say thanks, Larry, for doing this for us, and because there's a whole lot of effort that goes into it. I appreciate you. I don't care if anybody, I don't care what the rest of people say about you. You're all right in my book, okay? Okay. All right. Tonight I want to talk to you about the subject of walking with Christ. And I realize, as you realize, that as we consider the subject of walking with Christ, it's a big subject. We're not going to cover everything tonight. I've thought of a lot of things since I put this together that could be included in this. But this is the way that I was thinking about it as I put it together. Colossians 2 and verses 6 and 7 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." We're told in Hebrews 11 and verse 5 that Enoch walked with God. We're also told that in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1 that Abraham walked before God in an upright way. The word walking, of course, we're not talking about literal walking, one foot in front of another, but we're talking about progressing in the way that God would have us to go in Jesus Christ, that we're moving where he goes, that we're, where he goes, that's where we want to go, where he would go, that's where we want to go. And so we're talking about walking with Christ. You could also talk about following Christ. There's many different ways of, and the Bible uses those expressions as well. But to walk with Christ, we must, first of all, walk in accordance with his commandments. That's what our text has before us. This is what Paul is stressing to the Colossians here. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. What he's saying is, don't make any changes. As you have received him, you've received him in hearing, trusting, and obeying the word, the doctrine of Christ. And so continue in that same vein, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Don't change it, in other words. As you have received him, continue in him. And as you have received him, continue to abound in the things that you have been taught. Don't change them. If you change these things, then you're going to be changing your walk with Christ. Notice he says, as you have been taught, and then he goes on to say, abounding in it with all thanksgiving. So as we have received Christ and the way of Christ, we're walking in Christ, we're continuing to grow in Christ, he says, abound in Christ. What does that tell you? You know, there's a lot of these words, of course, you realize and I realize are used figuratively, but as we live in Christ and grow closer to him, you know, as you live with someone, the more you get to know them, the more familiar you are with them, you know what they're going to do many times before they do it. You know what they want you to do before they ask you to do it. Isn't it that way with Christ, too? That as you live your life in Christ, that you know what he would have you to do? That if we're walking with Christ, you know where he wants you to go and what he wants you to do and what to stay away from. So to walk with Christ, we must walk in accordance with his commandments. 2 John verse 6 expresses this. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it, live in it, live by it, live by the commandment of Christ. This is love of God and love for Christ, that you keep his commandments and walk according to those commandments. Verses 9 through 11, we often quote, make reference to, such an important passage of Scripture. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. To walk with Christ, we must abide in the doctrine of Christ. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. That's what we notice this morning from John 14, isn't it? If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. It's not just another doctrine. It's not just some doctrine. It's not just somebody's opinion. It's a false doctrine. It's against the way of Christ. And the question then comes down to, well, who do you want to have fellowship with? Do you want to have fellowship with God and Christ, or do you want to have fellowship with a person that's teaching some different doctrine, an evil doctrine? And of course, that's a rhetorical question. We all want to have fellowship with Christ. We all want to walk with Christ. We all want to keep his commandments and be walking with him, living with him. To walk with Christ, we must walk circumspectly or accurately. Ephesians 5 and verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Abide in the doctrine of Christ. Live accurately within what Christ teaches us from his word. To walk with Christ, we must walk in holiness. Isaiah 35 and verse 8 says, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others, It shall be for those who aren't unclean. It shall be for those who want to be made clean and remain clean. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. A fool, a simple one, someone without understanding, but comes to this road and walks in this highway of holiness, this highway that teaches us the way of holiness, we have to approach this highway saying, I don't know the way of holiness. I don't know what it takes to be holy. And we let the Word of God teach us what it takes to be holy. It takes Christ, for one thing. It takes the blood of Christ. It takes a desire to be holy as He is holy, be pure as He is pure, to hate sin and to love righteousness. So if you're going to walk, it makes sense that there's going to be a path to walk on, a way to go. And so here it's referred to as the highway of holiness. Wouldn't mind being stuck in a traffic jam on the highway of holiness, would you? There's so many people that we just have to stop and get to know each other. That would be great. To walk with Christ, we must not walk with a vain mind. We must not walk in darkness. Ephesians 4 and verses 17 through 19 says it this way, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." You might remember that last Sunday morning we looked at this verse, and we looked at verse 18 here and noticed how the reverse of this, that, you know, how is it that somebody's understanding is darkened? Well, it begins with the fact that they've blinded their heart. They won't let their heart see the way of truth. And so because of the blindness of their heart, there is ignorance in them. They don't know the way of holiness. They don't know the way of God. And because of that, then they are alienated from the life of God. And their understanding is darkened. Now, Paul picks up with that in verse 19. He says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness." We talk about a condition, the Bible talks about the condition of a hardness of heart. That's what he's talking about here. And so you're past feeling. You don't allow the Word of God to prick your heart. You don't know enough about the Word of God. And you don't want to know enough about the Word of God to allow it to prick your heart. And you can do that. You can become calloused to the Word of God and His way. And be past feeling and giving yourselves over to lewdness, that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is so great and so compelling with you that you've just given yourself over to it and have turned a deaf ear to the way of God and have withdrawn your hand from the hand of God in Christ to work all uncleanness with greediness. To walk with Christ, we must not walk in the path of the wicked. Proverbs 4 and verses 14 and 15 says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on." So if we're going to walk in the highway of holiness, we cannot also walk in the path of the wicked. Won't work. They're not going in the same direction. They're going completely opposite directions and to different destinations. He says, avoid it, do not travel on it, turn away from it, and pass on. You understand that if you're going to get on a highway, don't you? And you want to go north? You know you want to avoid the entrance ramp that says south. Because you're going to be on it for a while. And you don't have time to be on it for a while. We don't have time to be on this pathway of evil. We don't have to have time to be in that way of evil. We are walking with Christ. You won't find Christ there. He calls us away from that walk of evil. In Proverbs 12 and verse 15, he says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who needs counsel is wise." Have you ever been lost? Am I the only one who's ever been lost? Probably not lost on the highways, but lost. You can get lost in the woods pretty easy. And especially at night, you know. Probably a lot of you have never been in the woods at night. But I have on several occasions. And it's pretty interesting. Probably the first time that I was done that was when I was much younger and was hunting raccoons with dogs at night. And it's kind of an interesting thing. You go in, you know, the dog goes in, he trails the raccoon. The raccoon runs up the tree, dog goes to the tree, barks on the tree. So, there we go. So go to the tree, and you get to the tree, look up in the tree, I don't see a raccoon. And so you start walking around the tree. And you might walk around the tree several times. Have you ever done that at a party? You know, somebody puts a blindfold on you and spins you around, and which way do you go? You know, and so we're in there, we're looking around the tree, hey, there's the raccoon. Boom, raccoon comes out. We get the raccoon, pick it up, take care of business. Now we're ready to maybe go back to the truck. Which way's the truck? You know, this is a woods we've never been in before. Or you shoot a deer, last 5 or 10 minutes of legal shooting time, and you give it half hour to an hour to expire maybe, and you go down and find the blood and start following the blood, keep following the blood, and the blood keeps going. And I know one night last year followed it for quite a long time and caught up with the deer, but I had no idea where I was. And thankfully, cell service had been restored to that part of the county, and I was able to get out my iPhone and look over my maps and say, well, you're right here. Okay, I know where I am. The road's right over there. And so just drug the deer over to the road and walked and got the truck and drove the truck down. But I was glad that I had that app. You know, when I was hunting raccoons, they make this neat little compass that floats around in water, and you can pin it onto your clothes, and all you have to do is look down and see which way. That's the greatest thing. I'll tell you, you know, if you ever get a chance to get one of those and you're going to be out in the woods anywhere, I don't care if it's light or daytime, daylight or dark, one of those compasses, you know, just as you're going into the woods, just take a glance at it and say, okay, which direction am I going? I need to go the opposite direction to get out of here. And it saves you a lot of time. Lost. It's not a fun feeling to be lost. Waste a lot of time. You ever get frustrated? You get frustrated when you're lost. That's true spiritually too, I hope. That if you have a desire to walk with Christ, you get frustrated when you're not walking with Christ. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Oh yeah. You can get lost and say, well, it seems to me and it feels like we should be going this way. That never works. That never works. Unless you're a woman. I don't know, for some reason their sense of direction is better than ours. They've got a better gyroscope or something. It seems like they're usually right. But guys can get turned around. I don't know, you know. I've learned to start, well, where's the sun and where's the sun supposed to be? And, you know, the funny thing about it is you start saying, what? The sun's not supposed to be over there. It's supposed to be over here. I mean, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, even when it's obvious that he's wrong, okay? And I mean, there are people that do that spiritually too. You know, that the Word of God is so plain and so clear, and you're rebelling against walking with Christ and being with God so much that you're trusting in your own feelings, that you just keep going farther and farther away from God and where you profess you want to be. To walk with Christ, we must not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Not only do people trust in what feels right and seems right to them, they also will trust in the counsel of those who don't know God. They're not walking with God. They're not appealing to you in regards to being in fellowship with God. You realize that the real draw is to gratify whatever desire it is that you and they have in common. In Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2, we're told, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." What do you delight in? What do you delight in reading? What do you delight in entertainment? What do you delight in thinking about and meditating upon? What brings true joy to you? Is it the Word of God? Or is it something else? In Psalms 1 and verses 5 through 6, we're said, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." And that's not to say that the ungodly are not going to stand before God to be judged. It just means they're not going to be able to stand before God. They're not going to stand justified before God, you see. Sinners will not be able to stand in the congregation of the righteous. "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." God is intimate with those who want to be intimate with Him in righteousness. God rewards those who walk with Him. Enoch, Abraham, Noah, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. Yeah, Noah walked with God. All of these men are said to have walked with God. They heard what God said. They trusted what God said. They acted upon what God said. And because of that, they were identified as walking with God, progressing and living with God. God rewards those who walk with Him, experiencing the joy of walking in the path of righteousness. Ephesians 4 and verses 8 through 10 says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Don't walk like you're still a child of darkness. Don't live like you're still a child of darkness. Live like you profess to be a child of light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." You know, as we continue to learn about goodness and righteousness and truth and begin practicing goodness and righteousness and truth, we find out what it means to walk with Christ, to live with Christ. How to walk as a companion with Christ. How can we do that? Well, we walk in newness of life. In Romans 6 and verses 3 through 4, a familiar passage to us says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" Do you remember that? Why were you baptized? To continue in your sin? No, that wasn't in your mind at all, was it? You turned from your sin. You didn't want to continue practicing sin. You put sin to death. You didn't want to sin anymore. When you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into his death. Why did he die? To take away our sins. And we're baptized to have our sins taken away in his blood. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus died, was buried, and arose. And we are dead to sin in that watery grave of baptism. And we come up out of that watery grave of baptism dead to our sins, but alive and walking with Christ in newness of life. Not in the old life of sin, but in the new life of righteousness with him. That's what this whole chapter is about. You're dead to sin. Don't act like you're still alive to it. You made a decision to be dead to it. And to live with Christ, to walk with Christ. So walk with him in newness of life. We walk with Christ in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Chapter 8 of Romans, in the first 6 verses, says, "Now there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but they walk according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The wages of sin is death. But I'm not walking in sin any longer. I'm not turning away from, I'm not walking in that pathway of sin, that pathway of unrighteousness, that pathway of error, that pathway of foolishness. I'm not walking in that anymore. I'm walking with Christ. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." We know that we're at peace with God. We're in fellowship with God. We're at peace with God. And finally, we can be at peace with ourselves, knowing that we're walking with Christ. To walk as a companion with Christ is to walk in fellowship with him. That means to be in agreement with him. Not he's in agreement with us. We are in agreement with him. We have learned about him and want to be like him and want to walk with him. He's the leader. We're walking with him. He's showing us where to go. He's showing us that highway of holiness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we're dead to sin, dead to darkness. We were once darkness, but we're not darkness anymore. He is light, and we are to walk with him in the light. We have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with Christ. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with those who have, like us, put the man of sin to death, to turn from that way of ungodliness, to walk in the highway of holiness. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In other words, continues to cleanse us from all sin. This is the present perfect. It always cleanses us from our sins. Automatically, no, we're to confess our... He'll go on here to talk about the fact that we're to confess our sins to him. That he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. How does he do that? How can he do that? Because of the blood of Christ that we're in fellowship with. We're in fellowship with him as long as we are walking with him, as long as we are walking in the light as he is in the light. Is it your determination to walk in the light as he is in the light? In him there is no darkness at all. Is it your desire that there be no darkness at all in your walk with Christ? Are you asking Jesus to participate and acknowledge and endorse your sin? Are you letting him say, come out of your sin? Come on and walk with me. I'm taking you to my Father. I'm taking you to the abode of God. Come and walk with me. Walk with me in this life, and you'll be with me hereafter. If you find yourself subject to the invitation tonight in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.